Excuse me. Praise the Lord. It's a good day. We've had a good time of song and thanksgiving already to God. That was a wonderful special. Thank you, ladies. And we're just looking forward to what God has for us. It's a beginning. You know, it's a new beginning. This is the first Sunday that I get to preach after our theme was revealed last Friday. And so I've been looking forward to this day. And of course, you know, since I've been looking forward to it so much, obviously the Lord would put a thorn in my flesh and have me have a little bit of a frog in my throat. So I have to apologize if we have a little bit of a volume issue here. But I'm thankful to be in the house of the Lord, and I'm thankful to be to impart to you our kickoff for our theme, the kickoff message that really starts in the beginning, God. I mean, it's there. It's our theme. Is that we're going to be doing a series through the book of Genesis. Because if you're going to truly understand a story, a book, a plot, whatever you're trying to understand, it's usually good to start at the beginning. It's not always the case. There are some things where some people get a little, you know, there's sometimes it's best to start at the end. Like when you're playing, when you're racing your brothers. You know, you take a shortcut. There are times when it's okay to not follow the rules, but when it comes to most things, we got to start at the beginning if we want to truly understand what's going on and what the Lord has for us. We have a beginning. You could say, "Well, I wasn't there at the beginning." You know, none of us were. But when it comes down to it, the beginning happens every day, happens every minute. Happens every next decision is the beginning of something new. The idea is that in every single beginning of our lives, God is there. And we see that he set that precedent in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 1. And if you are willing and able, I'd ask for you to stand as we read just this one verse that most of us probably have memorized, but it is the word of God, so we'll read it again. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let's have a word of prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we are again thankful for your word and how it speaks to our heart. I pray now, Lord, that you would speak through me. You would give me unction from on high to declare that which you have said in your word and have delivered unto me, Lord. I thank you again for your goodness and your grace and pray that you would bless now this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. It's a short one. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It's the foundation upon everything else that we believe. Genesis, it's not the first book in the Bible just by happenstance. God ordained and declared that it would be the first book. Now, you can say, wait, no, it's not the oldest book. Typically, the oldest, you know, is the first. Even though the book of Genesis was written after the book of Job and debatably some of the other books of history, really, even though it wasn't written first, God put it first. Because Genesis is the book that has the foundation upon which everything else hinges. We have to know where we started. If we didn't know where we start, then we wouldn't know how much we need the ending. If we don't know our beginning, then we can't trust in his beginning, of which there was none. Because he is the Alpha and the Omega. Amen. And unless we understand how truly depraved and how hopeless our situation truly is, we will never know how much we truly need the God that has done so very much for us. In the beginning, God. He needs no introduction. It's interesting because if you want to really sell a book, you want to get us really invested in the main character, right? You want to describe their origin, describe why we care about this person. But God, he doesn't dispense with any common courtesy or niceties. He doesn't say, "My name is God. I've been from the beginning of time." He just says, "In the beginning, God." Because what else was there? In order to understand in the beginning, you have to understand its context. You know, I understand there came about, I was about 7 years old when I came up to my parents with a very awkward question. Where do babies come from? You know, we all been there. But I understood that there has to be context with my beginning. What were the conditions that surrounded my beginning of what I remember? And of course, we all dread that, but that's a silly illustration, but it proves a point that you need context to understand your beginning. God does not. That's why there's no context about the beginning. Well, what happened before the beginning? God. That's it. That's the answer. Well, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to, because God was, is, and will ever be. Now, in his gracious, he has decided to share eternity future with us. And I am thankful for that. So if you're living here, if you're here today and you're a living, breathing soul, then God created you in his image. That means he created you with an eternal future. Amen. Now you have not been alive as a spirit floating around for all eternity past. Now, when God created you, he created you in his image. And your beginning was then when God created you. But your end will be eternal in one of two places, as ordained by the Holy Scriptures. God has stated that each and every one of us will live eternally. We will exist eternally. Now, whether we exist eternally in life or exist eternally in death, that comes down to how we view this God who was the beginning. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God was thinking of you. You say, well, what was there? Before there was, yes, God. God had thought. God had word. God had everything he needed. You say, well, there wasn't air for sound to travel. How did God say, let there be light? Well, because God doesn't need air to make sound travel. God, he invented it all. He gets to break all the rules because he made the rules. He invented the rules. He created everything that we know and see. So God is the beginning. And thus he knew before we ever came along what would happen. If you had a chance to come to the revival this past week, on Sunday, Brother McCracken went through a little bit about that, about the foreknowledge of God and how he knows in advance what's going to happen. Doesn't mean he determined it. See, God didn't determine your end, but he did start your beginning. He started your beginning regardless of what anybody else had to do with it, because God created you. God brought life to you. He ordained when you would begin. But your ending, he knows whether or not you will accept his son, Jesus Christ. He knows whether or not you will come to him. But that choice is entirely yours. So recognize the God of the beginning. That God who was and is to come. He's worth knowing. In the beginning, God. We understand there was, as far as we can tell, in the beginning there was nothing. No light. No eyes to perceive light. There was only God. And in every beginning that we will ever interact with and come up to in life, God is already there. That should give us great hope. Knowing that the next step I take, God sees. God is there. If I know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, then that God who is in every one of my beginnings is also my Father. And as my Father, every step I take, every decision I make, everywhere I go, everything I do, every thought I think, God is there. It's a hope. It's a message of hope that God knew from the very beginning every detail of your life. Jesus said it this way in Matthew, the very hairs of your head are numbered. That's how invested God is in the details of your life, in the details of your existence. He didn't just love you in a general etheric way and send Jesus to die for the world. Sometimes because we understand Jesus died for the world, we start to think that I as an individual am not so important to God. That's not true. Jesus said the details of your very existence, of your very life, God knows. He's there. He sees. So no matter where you come from this morning, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, God has been there. And even though you may see no way out, God knows how to get you out. He's made a way for you to come back to Him. He's made a way for you to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you are here today, sitting here listening to a man preach the Word of God, because God is offering you a way out of your hopeless life that you haven't, that you've been trying to seek the meaning of. You've been trying to look for answers in all the wrong places. I tell you, the answer is in God. Well, how do you know? Because He is the beginning. If you're going to start coming back to God, you've got to start at the beginning. Who is the beginning? God is the beginning. You say, my beginning wasn't great. I've messed it all up. Well, you're looking at the past. You see, the beginning is not just the past. The beginning can be the present as well. That's the thing about the beginning, is it's a relative term. Now, this beginning we're talking about here, you can say, well, that was the beginning. That's when God created the heaven and the earth. The Bible says that's the beginning. Yes, that was the beginning of the heaven and the earth. It was not the beginning of God. You see, beginning was relative. It's based on who you're talking or what you're talking about. We began church this morning at about 11. You know, the main service began at about 11, give or take a minute. But, you know, it wasn't the beginning. God was around. We were, most of us, for hopefully all of us, were around before the beginning of church. So you understand, the beginning is a relative term, but if you want to know God, you've got to recognize that He has been there in every beginning, and He knows every beginning you're going to have, every beginning you have had, so your past doesn't matter. You can start a new beginning again, because the Bible declares that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, all things are become new. New, beginning, those are synonyms. You can become new today. You say, well, I made that decision. I came to Christ. I know Him as my Savior, but my past, I've just messed up so much since then. Well, welcome to the club. I've messed up an awful lot in my life since I came to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've messed up an awful lot. But you know what? There's also a verse in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what? That's not talking to unsaved people. That's talking to you and me. People who had that perfect beginning when we came to Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And then we messed up. Man, we messed up that perfect beginning. Probably that very same day. To be honest, I did not live a sinless day the day I got saved. Very late. It was several hours later. You know, two of my earliest memories are one, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, kneeling at my dad's waterbed as He led me to the Lord, and praying and asking the Lord to forgive me of my sins. I was 4 years old. And then that very next day, I have this memory of my mom saying, "Didn't you just make a decision to give your life to God?" Because I had talked back to her as a four-year-old. I already had a smart mouth, so that tells you anything about me. Pray for my wife. I messed up that new beginning. But you know what? I was crying about it. I remember my mom. She took me through the concept of assurance of my salvation. She took me to 1 John 1:9, and she told me, you know what? The good thing about it is we're going to keep messing up. But God's always going to start a new beginning with you. So maybe you've come in here hopeless and said, no, I've messed up so much. Guess what? Today's a new beginning. You can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can come to God right now, and you can know that He has forgiven you and that He has started a new beginning with you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who is our God? Who is this God? He's the beginning. He has existed from everlasting to everlasting. But this world would try to tell you, would try to explain to you that this God is something, that he's some ethereal, some you know, part of nature. You know, if you ask 10 different people today or 20 different people, who is God? You'll probably get 10 or 20 different answers. Because we just have this idea of, well, God is whoever you want him to be. That's not the God of this beginning. That's not the God of the beginning. The God of the beginning, he is the self-existent one. He was one that didn't need an introduction. See, every other God I have come into contact with, every other person who has tried to tell me about their God, they always have to give me context to his beginning. They always have to say, well, God is in the universe. He's always been. So without a universe, there's no God. Well, yeah. Or they say, oh, I think God is in every one of us. So before humanity evolved, there was no God. Well, no. See, it doesn't make sense. Because if your God has to be known, if your God has to be understood by the context of things around him, if your God is an effect and not a cause, then unfortunately, your God is not who you. Your God is not, cannot help you, because he is. We need a God who was there at the beginning in order to lead us to an end. If we're going to trust him for the end, we've got to trust him for the beginning. Blessed be God. He's there at this beginning. He knew. He knew that this would happen. So I would, what can you do? Yeah, well, there are people looking into it. So I appreciate your attention. But God is, there it goes. God is, he is our beginning. In the beginning, God, you got to know the right God. If you don't know the right God, you are without hope still. How do you know the God? Well, I alluded to it earlier. How do you know it's the right God? Well, your God has to be the cause, not the effect. See, I had an actual question in my ordination council. And this question was posed to me by probably my biggest critic. And no, I do not have daddy issues, but it was from my dad. You know, and he asked me this question at my ordination council. He said, "What is first cause?" I'd never heard that question in my life. I didn't know what is first cause. Apparently there is this philosophical. Some philosopher came up with the idea. There had to be a first cause. There's this understanding. You know, I remember as a 7-year-old, I was talking to somebody in my dad's church when we were there in Hillsboro, Oregon, and he was playing the devil's advocate, and he kept on saying, "No, we weren't created by God. We came from monkeys." And then I was like, "No, I was like, this guy's a deacon in our church. He can't say stuff like that." And I said, "No, we didn't." He's like, "Well, you're created by God." Well, and then he goes on, he's like, "No." I said, "Well, then what created the monkeys?" And he said, "Well, monkeys came from," and he went through it, single cell organisms. And I was like, "Well, what created those? Well, what created those?" My job got very easy, because eventually he came back to, "Well, the universe, the stars, the Big Bang was started by peoples." He came up with, made it on the spot. And I was like, "Well, what made the peoples?" "Well, the Big Bang." He's like, "Well, now you've gone in a circle. You see, there's a problem, because you don't have a cause. Your cause has to be your effect. And that doesn't make sense. You see, there had to be a first cause. That first cause is in the beginning, God. He is the original eternal. So he created. He was the one who set everything in motion. What I have a hard time with in life is Christians, believers, people who know and love God and claim that the God of the Bible is my God, and I know and I have a personal relationship with him. I meet with him every day, and yet they go out in this world, and they're struck by the same anxieties that all the rest of this world is, and they struggle with the same thoughts and the same hardships as everybody, and they react in the same way. When things don't go their way, they get angry. When things don't go go when things don't seem to be looking up, they get depressed. And I'm saying, how? You know the God of the Bible. And I understand there are literal chemical imbalances in the brain. I understand. I'm not talking about those situations. I'm talking about people who just are in a bad mood because things didn't go their way. And so then they come and they say that they know and love God, and yet there's no evidence. If you believe, if your God is truly the God of the Bible, you know He was there from the beginning. He created. God created. The understanding that God began everything, that God created everything, is instrumental to your understanding that He can be there for me in every situation. And if I'm having a problem accepting Him at His word, if I'm having a problem reacting to the things that He's allowed into my life, and I'm not doing it in a godly and a holy way, then it means my understanding of God is flawed. Because the one who created everything, the one who was the first cause, is there with me today. And if I don't have hope, and if I'm falling in the same pitfalls that the rest of this world is, and my mental health is suffering as a result of just not, because as a result of the things that life throws at me, then it means I don't truly know God as well as I think I do. And we need to come back to that, come back to the very beginning and say, this is the God who created. He was in the beginning. He required no cause. And He caused everything. How great is our God? In the next few weeks, we'll go over the process of creation and go in even greater depth and detail as to who our God truly is and how mighty and wonderful He is. Isaiah chapter number 6, verses 1 through 8. We see the depiction of Isaiah standing before the throne room of God. He wasn't there for creation. He didn't even see God. Honestly, I believe God in all His glory, God in His ultimate display of power would have been the existence of everything. When God spoke and said, "Let there be light." In our understanding of science today, we understand that light can become energy, light is everything. It began with light. We understand today that atoms can be created from light. Everything can come from light. So when God said, "Let there be light," He began it all. He was that cause. In the beginning, when He said, "Let there be light." How powerful. And yet Isaiah, just seeing God in His glory in heaven, seeing a facsimile, because I truly believe we cannot understand. The Bible says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard, what He has in store for those that love Him." We cannot. So Isaiah, he was seeing a depiction that his eyes could understand. He was seeing a translation of God's throne. Why do you think that John, when he had the same opportunity to be caught up in heaven and see the vision of Revelation, he saw the throne room. There were things he could not speak of. Why? Because they could not be described by with words. There are things that exist outside the plane of creation, of which God is mighty, and we cannot even begin to understand the greatness of our God. And yet Isaiah, when he stood before the throne of God, all he saw was a translation, a facsimile. What he could perceive with the mind that God had given him. All that he perceived it. And even that pale comparison to who God truly is and who we will be when we be able to experience Him in all His fullness. Even though Isaiah saw just a copy of a copy of that. Something that was packaged down for what he could understand and perceive. He fell on his face before Him and said, "Woe is me, for I am a man undone. I'm a man of unclean lips." He could not bear the sight of even the physical representation that God had allowed him to see of His throne room and God in His glory. Even that was too much for him. He could not bear to look at that. And yet heaven, God's existence is heaven. He is not bound by time and space. He is not bound by the confines of physics and the universe as we know it. He lives in an existence that we cannot begin to understand. So how do you know? Because He's God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was there in the beginning. He was there before light, so He does not require light to see, even though we do. God was there in the beginning. He doesn't require sound to speak, but He did. See, God, He doesn't have to abide by the rules because He created the rules. And he exists in a way that we cannot understand, possibly understand. That is how amazing and wonderful and mighty our God is. And just the glimpse of him should throw us on our faces. He gave us a glimpse here. We don't need that throne room experience that Isaiah had to know that the God that is introduced in the very first three words of this, in the very first verse of Genesis, is someone who should be glorified and honored with every fiber of our being. He is someone who we should not claim to know him and then wonder, is he good? Is he strong enough to take me through this week? Is he wise enough to help me through my financial struggles? Is he good enough to keep me faithful another week? Is he strong enough to help my anxiety, my weakness, and my fleshly thoughts? The answer is a resounding yes. We lose sight of that. We come to church and we understand God in this. We get a glimpse of him, and we expect that glimpse to be enough for the rest of the week. When we have access to this every single day, we can know God every beginning, every next step. In the prayer meeting this morning, we have a prayer meeting that goes from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock. It's kind of a come and go. It typically goes to about 9:30, but people come and go and pray. But at 9 o'clock, I started off with a charge. Today, the Lord just laid one little verse on my mind. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. You know, that's a verse that has stumped me. It stumped me for a long time throughout my Christian life. I said, because I am an objective, analytical type person, if you hadn't guessed. And I think if the Bible says pray without ceasing, it should be possible to pray without ceasing, right? It should be possible. Without ceasing means without stopping. We need to pray without ceasing. How is that even possible? Because obviously God doesn't intend for us. We couldn't possibly fulfill everything else the Bible says if every single moment of every single day we were just on our knees praying to God. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. So this pray without ceasing is talking about the understanding that God is there in every beginning. It's to acknowledge him. When I truly understood that verse, it actually led me to help me understand that verse when I asked the Lord as a teenager. I remember, Lord, help me because my mind is getting hung up on this. How do I pray without ceasing? And he led me to my life verse, or life verses in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Well, how many ways do you have? Every decision that you make is a new way. Every moment you go through, every second you go through is a new beginning. As you go throughout your day and everything that you do, acknowledge God. Live with this understanding and this thought that God is there. So how do we pray without ceasing? In everything we give thanks. In everything we acknowledge that God is there. And that is how we can maintain that communion with him throughout our lives. God never intended for us to come to his house, come to a church on a Sunday and forget about him till the next time we meet. If that's what you've been doing and expecting to keep you on the straight and narrow and keep you full of the grace and love and peace of our God, it's no wonder you're struggling. Because that's not what God gave us. He didn't just give us the church so that we could come and think about him for one day. And that would help us throughout the week. Now, I'm thankful for everybody who's here today. Please, I'm not trying to be ungrateful. Or I'm not trying to tell you, I'm not accusing or pointing fingers at all. What I'm saying is that the glimpse of God that you, Lord willing, get today, you can have tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. Every day, every moment of every day, if you'll just acknowledge God, if you'll just love him, and if you'll just see him for who he is, that God who was in the beginning, you will have a trust and a hope and a peace that will stay with you throughout every decision and every trial you have to go through. If we will just come to the understanding that our God is in every beginning. He was in the beginning. He was there before I could even understand or perceive the existence of him. He was there. A God who is that powerful is able and willing to fulfill his promise to be with you throughout every moment of every day and to help you and to uphold you with the right hand of his righteousness. God is here. He has given us a book through which to get a glimpse of him every time we open it. He's given us a world that we can look around, and no matter what we've been taught in school, we can look around and we know this didn't just happen. It's not possible. It's buried in the deepest recesses of the logic center of every brain, every human brain on this world. They understand in their deepest of deepest hearts, this couldn't have just happened. God gave us that so that we would know in everything we do, there was a creator. There was a cause for this. It's my God. He gets to be my God. I get to have him as my Lord. What an honor. What a privilege. But it's only helpful if we actually do it. God is there in the beginning. It doesn't mean he's helping you. Because God is not going to force himself upon you. See, if you're here today, you came here by your own strength and your own might. Yes, the Lord, he created you. He did things to help along the way. But I guarantee you that, see, it's God's will that everybody who names the name of Christ would be in his house on his day. He said so in the Bible. It's a command. So by coming here today, you've done that somewhat on your own. So yes, you could be a godly Christian who comes to church on Sundays and doing right and still not have God helping you. Yes, he's there because he was there at the beginning. He's here today. He'll be here forevermore. But just because his presence is there does not mean that you are receiving any benefit from it. We have to reach out to him. Now, it's possible that all you know, you've come here today and you believe. You say, okay, I believe there is a God. I do. I believe there is a God. And I know he's here, but I just don't feel, I don't know him. Well, God talks about that in this book too. In fact, he tells us that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for our sins. The reason you can feel God's existence, but you don't feel any kind of connection with him, you don't have any kind of knowledge that he is yours and you are his, is because you have sin. We are all born sinners. The Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That separation that we feel with that God who is here, but not part of us, is the fact that sin separates us. We are born sinners separated from God. But God in his love, so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The good news for you today is that though you may have come here with no hope, you can leave here knowing that God is not only present in your life, but he is yours and you are his. If you will just come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You can know today that the God of the beginning is your God, and he will be there with you through every beginning that you face in your life. Christian, maybe you've forgotten how great your God truly is. Maybe you have not been viewing him in the right way. Maybe you've got lost in the affairs and busyness of life, and you can't remember the last time that you acknowledged him when it wasn't on a Sunday. He's in the beginning, and he's in your every beginning. He's still there. You are his. He is yours. All you have to do is reach out. Say, Lord, It starts at an old-fashioned altar on a day like today. Come forward and say, Lord, I've not been living right. I've not been acknowledging you in my ways and in my paths. Help me to do that again. God says that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. You know what that upbraideth means? It means God doesn't give it grudgingly. If you come asking the Lord to help you in your walk with him, God doesn't go, not today. No. He gives liberally. He's not even going to make you feel guilty about it. Have you ever asked somebody for something and then they gave it to you, but they made you feel guilty about it? So you really earned it. No, God's not that way. If you come today asking for forgiveness and wisdom, he will come before you and say, I give liberally. I give open arms. Please, I want to. I've been waiting for you to come back to me. And he'll start that new beginning of your relationship with him again today. Isn't that amazing? He's a good God. Let's stand to our feet and bow our heads.